Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
NHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5. There's only 20 days until the NFL draft right here in our fair city. Nashville obviously hosting the NFL draft. Let's get a couple of segments with Mike Dettillier before we turn him over to Titans Radio. Titans Radio draft analyst Mike Dettillier joins us now. 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Mike, how are you, man? Calm before the storm, or are you rocking and rolling? What's going on?
Yeah, well, it's not my first clam bake, so
What is this for you, Mike?
It's 33 years for me. I'm used to it. But man, that's great for Nashville. That's super. We'll never have it here in New Orleans just because of the timing. It's the same weekend of Jazz Fest. So while they would love to have it, I don't think we got enough hotels and motels to put everybody in.
Could you imagine the NFL draft in New Orleans, though? I mean,
during Jazz Fest, that would be insane. Jazz Fest is phenomenal, by the way.
Yes,
that would be quite something to maneuver around. Put it to you that way.
Well, Mike, as we look at some of these players that might be available at 19, let me just go ahead and start with a guy that just popped up on my screen, Marquise Brown, the wide receiver out of Oklahoma. What do you think about him?
Growing up in the 70s, you know, he reminds me of a guy I saw with the Raiders and Cliff Branch. Speed guy, can really stretch the outside parts of the field, catches the ball pretty well. Up front with his hands, real thin build, so you're not going to have him run over the middle a lot, but he gives you that big play option, and in a lot of ways is has the same sort of skill set that you see in a Tyreek Hill with the Chiefs as a receiver, and that he's going to scare the bejesus out of you every time he touches the football, but he's not a real big guy. So you understand what you're getting here. And the Titans have used a lot of early-round picks on receivers the last few years and certainly spent quite a bit of capital to bring in Humphreys. So that would surprise me, they go receiver.
Receiver would surprise you. What would not surprise you? Where are you thinking right now they would go with their moves they've made in free agency position-wise?
I'm a big believer in the big man theory up front. If you have people that can influence the quarterback, if it's an inside player, a defensive tackle, or an edge rusher, that's where I would lean if I'm the Titans today. And especially a big man in the middle. And someone like Dexter Lawrence from Clemson. A huge man, can occupy a lot of blockers up front, plays the run well, gets a decent push from the inside. It's not a great pass rusher, but he gets a good push, and he sort of allows your inside linebackers to flow unimpaired to the running back today, and you can get so much today is in watching film and talking to coordinators, they're all talking about getting interior pressure. 7-on-7 has changed the world, and that you're not getting as many edge pass rushers at defensive end, outside linebackers, as you have in years past. And doing all those, many of those camps, I should say, you talk to 15, 16-year-olds that are in there, they don't want to play defense. Man, I want to play wide receiver and tight end. Mm-hmm. I want to catch the football. But you can get the interior guys. And so there's a lot of emphasis on not allowing that quarterback to step up in the pocket and make a throw. So if I can get a big man in the middle, I'm taking him. And I don't look twice. And I do think because of the run, it's the best interior defensive tackle class I've ever done. Kind of top to bottom. It has depth to it. And I think if you can get that guy, you can get receivers that will fall to you just because, you know, the Greeks settled this years ago. Got a chance to pick a really talented big man or a really talented smaller guy. I'm going with the big dude. I just think receivers, running backs, defensive backs, they're going to tumble in this draft, even in round one, because of the quantity and quality that you have along the defensive line, edge rushers. And every year I say this, and I think it's true, the one area that you see make a move as it gets closer are offensive linemen. I just think that, you know, you're trying to protect that multi-million-dollar quarterback that you have. And I do think that that's the one position consistently every year. As they make those final grades, they make a final move.
Let's stick with some more of these defensive players. Christian Wilkins is a guy, Mike, that we've seen linked to the Titans in a bunch of these mock drafts. Not that that means anything, but the thought is he would probably be available in that range.
Well, again, another big man in the middle for Clemson. I think he'll be off the board by the time the Titans pick. He's a better pass rusher than Dexter, and technically strong guy, can get up the field and run the field extremely well. And you can kind of maneuver him around a little bit. Again, he's another big man who can get after that guy who's got the ball carrier, and he's really terrific in run defense. And he gets a good pass rush from the middle. And I think, again, those type guys don't last long. I think he'll be a top 12 pick, but he's a really talented football player. I don't know who's recruiting them cats for Clemson along the defensive line, but that guy deserves a raise. Man, you look at what they were able to muster. Good gracious, that's some real big time talent.
Who are a couple of other interior defensive linemen that kind of stick out to you that maybe we're not talking about?
Well, I think the best player in this draft, my highest rated player, is Quinnen Williams.
Yes,
from Alabama. I just, you know, watched him play, and I'll never forget, LSU's playing Alabama, and I was talking to Coach Hill the Thursday before the game, and I brought up Quinnen Williams to him, and he gave me a long pause, and he said, you know what trying to block Quinnen Williams is like? He said, it's like trying to catch a wet bar of soap. Which I thought was a great line. And listen, he wasn't good. He was dominant.
Yeah.
Again, we talked about Wilkins as being a guy. Ed Oliver, tremendous athlete, did not have a good junior season. A lot of turbulence there. Had some injuries early on. Then him and Major Applewhite got after it pretty good.
Over a
damn coat. Come on. Good gracious. But that's the world today. And they talk about, you know, young players. What about the young coach, not having enough common sense to understand how good of a player Ed Oliver was? And I think he's a guy, too. In the right scheme, he's going to give a lot of problems to people trying to block him up front. Just because of his speed, his quickness, his ability to get off the line of scrimmage, he does that really well. And Jerry Tillery from Notre Dame, interesting guy. I saw him play a lot in high school. He's a Louisiana kid, like everybody else, like Les did and Notre Dame originally did. They told him he would play offensive tackle. And he goes to Notre Dame, and they say, yeah, guess what? You're playing defensive tackle. He's had a little bit of a roller coaster ride as a player. He'll talk to you about anything, A to Z. And that's strange for a player, but when you interview him, he'll talk anything with you, from politics to weather to what's on TV, movies, rap music, you name it. He's willing to give you an opinion. Some people take that the wrong way with him. You know, my thing is, so what? It means he's diverse. And I think he's an intriguing football player that will be a better pro than he is a college player. And he's really athletic, very strong, plays the run well, And he's got some big-time pass rush skills from the interior.
What do you think about Zach Allen from Boston College? I asked Mike because the Titans have a lot of ties to this guy through Mike Vrabel and his son, the new strength coach that they hired. They know a lot about this guy.
Zach's a guy that gives you great effort. Athletically, he's not going to measure up against some of the guys in this draft class, even though he's a good athlete. But what I love about him is his intensity, his ability to come off the snap fast. It doesn't take long for the head to tell a body what to do. He's got instincts to the ball carrier, and he's a good pass rusher. But he plays the run strong. He's really built extremely thick in the upper body, so you got trouble sort of moving him around. But he just never takes a false step out on the field. I think he'll probably end up being a second-round pick, maybe dropping into the third. But what he is a really good player. You know, he gives you everything he's got on every play. And you know at Boston College he's been well-coached. And that's the one thing you get that type player. None of those guys are 4- and 5-star recruits. You know, most of them are 2- and 3-star recruits. And yet they get the very most out of the talent they have.
3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Mike Dettillier joins us. M&D Draft Report, MikeDettillier.com, SaintsReport.com down in New Orleans. I was down there not too long ago, Mike. Got to get to New Orleans every once in a while and get some food, man.
Man, listen, it's awesome this time of year. The crawfish is plentiful and cheaper than it normally is. And, it's awesome here. It's a great place to visit, no question about it.
Yeah, and I asked Mike, I said, hey, does LSU, have the football stadium gates open like they do at Florida? People might not know, but, like, kids go in to study at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium in the swamp. And you were like, no, it's usually locked up. And we walked by. We drove by first, and there was a kid at the gate with the gate open. Then we parked, and we were going to go to see Mike the Tiger and the gift shop or whatever. And when we walked by, the guy was gone. So we just walked out on the field, took a bunch of pictures, and left. I loved it.
That's awesome, because normally they guard that like Fort Knox. listen, that's the one thing about Coach O, man. He got that field guarded, brother. It's like they got the gold bars there.
I was hoping we would see him, man. I love that dude.
Well, he's something else. We go back. We didn't go to high school together, but we're a year apart. And we actually grew up in the same sort of neighborhood, but he lived south of the Intercoastal Canal. And so he went to South Lafourche and I went to Central. And just crazy stuff with him and Bobby Hebert live maybe within 5 minutes of one another.
Yeah.
And I live, the guy who lived across the street from me actually ended up being one of the top racehorse jockeys in the world in the 80s and 90s, early 2000s, in Shane Sellers. Wow. Four of us. You couldn't throw a dime and hit where we live on the bayou, and yet, you know, we've all done pretty well. But O's really done well, and I'm thrilled for him. And he's got a chance to do pretty well this year with that football team he's assembled.
What do you think about this quarterback group? You told us a long time ago, before everybody was talking about Haskins and Murray, and you said, hey, Drew Locke's going to be a first-round guy, top half of the first round. Now everybody's got him up there. Potentially a fourth guy in the first round. What do you think about this group?
Listen, either you got one or you're looking for one. I mean, that's just the way that position is. And I'd be shocked if Kyler Murray didn't go one. I think the big thing for me is going to be where number two goes, because I just a gut feeling on my part that the second quarterback may last a little bit longer than people think. And it may be late in the top 10 before that second quarterback comes off the board, and that being Dwayne Haskins. And then I think Drew Locke and then Daniel Jones. I think you'll have four quarterbacks selected within the top 20 selections. Again, it's a league that either you got one or you're looking for one. And I think that's what you're looking at today. Daniel, you know, he was at the Manning camp. He reminds me so much of Eli, almost like he could have been a Manning somewhere along the line. They sort of built alike. They throw the football alike. Their dynamics as a passer are very similar when Eli came out. But Drew Lock, and I knew a lot about him. I knew his dad, Andy, who was an offensive lineman at Missouri, and actually the grandfather, Jerry, played at Missouri in the early 1960s. So he's got some genetics there. But Drew was a really good basketball player in high school, and actually was recruited to play basketball by Oklahoma and Wichita State. So he's a really good athlete, but it's the arm talent. And he's always had that tendency to blow a little hot and cold as a passer. Mm-hmm. I thought he was better this year with it consistency-wise, but he put on a show at the Manning camp. And on the Thursday, Archie and Peyton and Eli, they allowed me to watch the counselors, which are the college quarterbacks who teach the high school kids to work out. And Drew Lock got in there. Now, he's not throwing to his receivers. He's throwing to receivers from Northwestern State in Louisiana, Nicholls State, Tulane, LSU, Nicholls State. And the first couple throws, and it was like you could sort of hear the murmur amongst the other guys. Whoa, that was something. And so this has to be six or seven throws into he's going through these individual drills. And Archie Manning passes on his golf cart and stops, and he watches as Drew Lock, he throws a laser 60, 70 yards downfield. And he looks at me and said, "Did you see it?" I said, "No, I heard it." Man, it was almost like you could hear the ball come out of his arm, and he put on an arm show that I had not seen there since Matt Stafford, and I think that's who I would compare him very similar to. I don't think he's as refined a passer at this stage as Stafford, but they have a lot of similarities, and well, you got the right coach. He's something special as a player, and he's a real sharp young man.
Is there a guy maybe in the second group of quarterbacks, maybe the third group of quarterbacks, because Titans GM's on record saying we need a developmental guy. So I'm curious, like mid-round type of guy.
Well, I'll tell you two. One, I think is going to probably end up being a second-round pick. Will Greer I like a lot. He's the gunslinger of the group at West Virginia. Again, he won big at Florida, then he got caught with the PED situations and everything else. But, man, I just like him as a player. He's got a lot of moxie to him. He takes chances throwing the football, but he makes a lot of big plays. The other one is Jordan Tuma from Ole Miss. This guy was a lightly recruited football player, went to junior college, goes in at Ole Miss, and actually performed better there than Shea Patterson did. With the same group. Now, again, I always tease Deuce McAllister about this. Why the hell do Ole Miss didn't play for a national championship? They're going to have three receivers picked. They're going to have their tight end picked, two offensive linemen, a quarterback, and two defensive backs, and they were a middle-of-the-road team in the SEC. Again, their front seven defensively is where it all hangs. But, man, Jordan's a smart guy. He knows where to go with the football. He's a good athlete. He throws a really good deep ball. That longer range pass, he throws extremely well, and he's a very sharp young man, almost like a sponge. He picks things up really well, and he moves around the pocket. But it's his decision-making process that I really like as a player, and I think Jordan's going to end up being a pretty good player in the NFL. Really do.
You know what else? He's got that aloha spirit, super calm from Hawaii, very similar to Marcus.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
He very much, he's almost like the calmest guy in the room. That, you know, when everything else is sort of falling around him, he's got the presence about him and understanding that if he shows that sort of emotion and gets caught up with it, everybody else will too. And I like that calm presence about him, but he's got a lot of self-confidence. Yes. About him too. That, you know, because when he went to Ole Miss, you know, Patterson was the guy. You know, Shea's the man out there. And then Shea gets hurt, and actually Ole Miss's offense played better with Jordan than it did with Shea.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We think about Brian Burns from Florida State, Mike.
He's a tall drink of water. He's got a problem I wish I had today, and that is he can't keep weight on.
And, don't we all?
Oh, man. You know, that body is wheeling him off pretty good. He's a really good edge pass rusher, but he's a little bit of a one-trick pony at this stage. He beats you with a speed quickness move, and he's got to get better with his assortment of moves and counter moves to get off the edge. But he's got tremendous athleticism and the ability to turn the corner very quickly. But he's a guy, too, that he's going to need the right coach to develop him with his arms and hands, because that's something he was trying to beat everybody with speed. Okay, that's great, but you got to also have to learn some of the technical parts of the game. And saying all that, though, he is so gifted as an athlete, and he brings the word potential as a pass rusher. He goes in the top 20. I just think that everybody's trying to put him at defensive end, and really as an outside linebacker, you're playing that anyway and what mm-hmm. he's doing. But still, he's not been able to keep weight on, and I don't know. He's not a power player at this point to do it. So you're going to have to maneuver him around. But, boy, once he turns the corner, it don't take him long to get from point A to point B and hit your quarterback.
Real quick, give me about 30 seconds on Josh Allen. A lot of Kentucky fans in the area, SEC fans, love that kid. Two-star guy coming out of high school. Hell of a player.
He's an unbelievable player. Be a top four pick. One of these type of guys that success has never went to his head, but he reminds me a lot when you watch him play of Khalil Mack. And he's got that type of ability. With Kentucky, there were a lot of schemes trying to block him, and yet he still got loose. And just a dominating football player. But he's been untouched, so to speak, by all the fame that's going his way. And he's still a guy that always remembers he almost ended up at Monmouth College.
Wow. Mike, always love the updates, man. Look forward to hearing you on Titans Radio, breaking everything down less than 3 weeks away. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.